Good morning to you out there. Today is September the 28th. Happy birthday, Peaches! Loguel Howell, happy birthday. That's my daughter. Today is her birthday. Yay! Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People here live with Linda Sims on WWGH1071.com, where we stream live. This is WGH Talk. Also, you have the opportunity and privilege to download an app, which you can find in your Play Store. The name of the app is called TuneIn, T-U-N-E, space, I-N. Download this app on any electronic device, which will be necessary for you to be able to have WWGH or WGH Talk at your fingertips, always on your electronic devices. Okay? Now, during this broadcast today, which is live, you can call in 740-383-9944 if you would like to be a part of this conversation we will be talking about today. Okay, now, it's a chilly day here in Marion, Ohio, which is 50 miles north of Columbus, Ohio. Now, we have 95 days remaining in this year. Mm. Can you believe that? 95 days remain.
Doesn't seem possible.
I know, they have gone by so fast.
2022 is almost gone.
We're looking at 2023.
I know.
Already. Oh, my. So hopefully, now it's time, which we call the holiday season, is coming in with Halloween. A lot of people celebrate Halloween. I've looked at some of the, you know, you drive by people's homes, and I mean, they got some eerie looking stuff up on their windows and in their yard, you know, and it's, you know.
No, I was in a department store not too long ago. I don't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
And there was, in the section where they were selling Halloween costumes and candy and stuff, there was this big mechanical monster they had put up. It was like a big, giant, like, skeleton thing. And it had lights in it and everything, and it rocked back. It was big. I mean, you know. And it rocked back and forth and went,
oh, wow.
Now, I noticed the last time I was there yesterday, and they took it down. Now, I don't know if it's because it was malfunctioning or what. Maybe somebody was complaining about it. Maybe it was scaring the kids.
That's what I was going to say. Think about our poor children and neighbors' children, you know.
Yeah.
Some of these things are so eerie and even scares me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, wow, frightening. So,
But they still got a bunch of statue-like or stuffed creatures, you know, around on that same platform and stuff. But that thing probably used up some electricity.
Right. I'm sure it did. I'm sure, so sure that it did. So what that is about is Halloween is on its way.
Yeah.
Right? Get your candy. There will be trick-or-treaters out in your neighborhood. So get ready for that. And then after that is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Let us be thankful. And let us not wait until Thanksgiving to be thankful. Let us live a thankful life. Okay, then after that is like Christmas, New Year's Eve, and hey, 2023. Let me move on before we get to our show. Now, I need to share with you those who faithfully supported Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist LLC. Their location is 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. There's also another announcement for them. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. This one will take place October 15th. I hope I got the date right, the third Saturday, because last month I was calling the wrong date. I was saying the third Saturday, which was the right thing, but the date was wrong. So Just remember that if you don't remember anything else. It's the third Saturday of every month. So, yes, it will be the 15th of October at 582 Lee Street. It begins at 12 noon and ends at 2 p.m. Now, if you have need of free produce, I know it's holiday time. Please take advantage of this. And if you know of someone else, please share that information. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. The location is LaRue, Ohio. Phone there is 740-262-0939. All right, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled, Fragrant Heart. And let's see what it says here. Oh, it doesn't say much. It's a little, one little sentence. Fragrant Heart. My phone is slow.
Is it?
Yeah.
People have been saying the internet's slow lately.
Maybe that's it. The heart is like a flower. Unless it is open, it cannot release its fragrance into the world.
Mm.
Now, is that powerful?
That is.
Oh, my.
That very much is.
It's like a flower. Unless it is open, it cannot release its fragrance into the world. So we're going to pray that many hearts begin to be open. Now, the other voice you hear is Jeff Porter.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Just great.
Good to see
you.
You
know, the world recognizes the value of love. I mean, it very much recognizes the love between a man and a woman. You know, and they say, well, love is a good thing. Yes, it is.
Yes.
And they don't seem to understand that God is love. They think he's a pirate or something, sitting up there on the great throne room, you know, this big judge sitting on his throne with a big hammer, you know, a judge's hammer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And guilty, 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 guilty. Well, yes, we are guilty, according to the Old Testament. You know, the Ten Commandments, especially the First Commandment, there shall be no other gods before me. And he sits there and just pounds that and can't wait to throw you into hell. You know?
Right.
But the Bible pronounces that God is love.
Yes.
I think he'd rather love us than judge us.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yes.
But that's our own choice.
That is our own choice, and a lot of people don't understand, because he is love, he is also a just judge.
He has to be.
Yes, so he just can't allow anything and everything, because
no.
He's just.
But he can forgive our sins.
Yes, he can.
If we're sincere enough to sincerely ask for forgiveness, and we can stand, see, believers, people who have been born again, accepted Jesus as their Savior, they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and their sins will not be brought up.
Right.
He will just decide what you've actually done to further the kingdom of God and hand out rewards accordingly, which you can't ask for better than that.
That's true.
You know, but there's no way to get rid of your sins except through Christ, you know. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right.
So, we are cleansed by the blood. You know, 1 Corinthians 5:20, I believe it is, it says, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in us.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
No, it's hard for us to imagine.
But
really is.
The righteousness of God can live in us if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, and that's because he sees us through his blood. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. It's very powerful. Very powerful.
I don't know how many times I've woke up and I felt like, oh, I've been run over by a manure truck or something. And by the time I get up and, you know, I decide I'm going to go get me a cup of coffee or something, I start feeling the Lord's presence, and he makes the sun shine through a cloudy day. And he can lift you up out of that morass. Now, people in the world, you know, they don't have anything to lift them up. You know, you need a power outside yourself that's more powerful than yourself.
Yes.
And more powerful than the world. You know, greater is he that is in us
than he that is in the world.
That's right.
He says, for you have overcome, little children.
Yes. And the only way that we've overcome, we don't really overcome. Jesus overcomes the world for us.
For us.
You know, and isn't that good news?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know.
And now Jeff Porter is author. He is author of a book called Expressions of the Last Days. He's considered a doomsday prophet, but one day that day will come, won't it, Jeff?
Yes.
The day that you've been talking about and the day that you wrote about in your
trying
book.
To help people prepare.
Yes.
Because we could come under a lot of pressure, you know. We still got days to stand strong.
Right.
You know, and that's what we have to do, is take a strong stand in the last days and tell people, you know. What I want to ask them is, if the Bible is such a big nothing, why do you make a big something out of it? You know, like in all the countries where there's a military dictatorship or some kind of dictatorship, the Bible's the first thing to go. The Bible's the first thing they criticize and attack and throw out and destroy and kill Christians and so on and so forth. Well, why? If it's such a big, well, it's a threat.
Right.
It's a threat to their ultimate power, you know, because the Bible says there should be no other gods before me. So they think they're a god.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
The only way to get rid of the other gods is to throw them out, you know. They never quite managed to do that.
Right. That's sort of like ego, you know, like I'm just going to, it's not just, you know, centered around men and their ego, but is anyone who wants to be dominant.
That's right.
And wants to rule the world. It can be male or female. And not rule by God's principles. And some people use God's principles, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're living right. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are a believer in God himself.
Well, there you go with Matthew. You wanted to talk about Matthew chapter 15.
Yes, I do want to talk about that. Since we opened up with the fragrant of the heart.
That's right.
You know, it just, in devotion this morning, it was about the heart that is desperately wicked and who can know it. So we do want to talk about the heart. We do want to explain to people where evil comes from, where, you know, sin comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the heart. Now, Jeff is going to read Matthew 15.
How far down you want me to go?
It starts at verse 12 to verse 20.
Okay. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You said verse 20, right?
All the way down to 20, yes.
There we are at 20.
Oh, so that was it. Okay, 19 through 20. Okay, and that was Matthew 15. Okay. Now, when you read that, it made me think of David. David, when he... Well, They say it like this, or they explain it like this, that David should have been out fighting that war, but instead he was at home being leisurely and on his rooftop looking and enjoying his evening, right? And he sees Bathsheba across the way taking a bath out on her porch.
What a perfect name for her.
Bathsheba, right?
Yeah.
So David is like, oh, he's very intrigued. You know, she has moved him.
She's got the right equipment.
She has moved him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now David was a man after God's own heart, right?
Yeah.
So he sees Bathsheba and he thinks, oh my.
Yeah.
I have to have that. Now, why would he think that? Because David already had a harem. He was a king, right?
Yeah, but you know what? A harem can lead you astray.
Well, that was the beginning, I guess.
Yeah.
Having whoever you want when you want them.
And sometimes you're over-loved, you know? And sometimes they get bored and they want something different.
Right. But, you know, from after he made that mistake or did that sin, God said, all these things I have given you. So I guess it was sort of a gift from God to have women, right? Am I wrong?
No, that's just what they're trying to show a couple of times in the Old Testament, that even if you're given everything you want, you're still not satisfied. So it's God that has to satisfy that longing in our hearts.
Right.
You know, when you go out and buy a new car, wow, at first it's like, wow, it smells like a new car. Got all these buttons on here, don't even know what all of them do.
Right.
You know, and all that, and be driving around, and it's so shiny and sparkly and everything. In America, you know, people have the money, they buy new cars all the time, so they don't really notice it that much. You know, it doesn't seem like. But we're never satisfied when it comes to material things or desires of the flesh. We're not happy. So
we have to have more, don't we?
You always have to have more. So the only thing that you can really seek after is God for satisfaction.
Right, right. You know? But David had God.
Yeah,
he was a man after God's own heart.
But he drifted away.
He drifted away.
I think his harem, you know, as material goods, got a hold of his heart.
Yeah, yeah. That woman surely did.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He had his servants to go get her, right?
See, this is something that I might contend with God about, because men are turned on by sight.
Right.
You know, we see a beautiful woman. Oh. Yeah. Women are not as much.
Yeah,
they have more of an emotional thing when it comes to attraction, you know.
Okay.
That's why they're so attracted to me. It's my personality, you know.
Okay. I get that.
Not going to argue with me?
No, I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay.
You're right. We see different things in a man, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women, like, you know, they love. When men at first lust, then after they've been married for a while and had a couple of kids, then they fall in love with their wife, you know.
Takes that long?
Yeah, a lot of times I think it does. For them to commit
time.
Their heart to somebody, yeah.
That's a long time, ladies. According to Jeff, if you're waiting on love, right, that's a long time. A couple of kids, right, after you're married. Oh, my. Then the man falls in love. But that's
not my think of, you know, David, I guess because he was king.
Right.
He didn't even think about the consequences.
No.
Of his sin.
No.
Probably didn't even think of it as a sin.
Right. Well, if you watch the movie, he talks to her and asks her her name, and she tells him that she is the wife of Uriah.
Yeah.
So he already knows she's married.
Yeah.
Right? Even now she's...
But he shoves it out of his mind somehow.
Yeah, yeah. She stands before him, you know. He's a king. What do you do to a king? You pay homage, right? And you bow, curtsy. Right?
I think a lot of people get involved in the cults. They see a contradiction there. There are several places where this cult contradicts truth. And they know that. A lot of times they'll come across something that will tell them, this is not true.
Mm-hmm.
This is a contradiction. But they put it in a compartment somewhere.
Right.
And shut the door on it so that they don't have to deal with it.
Right.
Rather than sitting there and saying, well, what are we going to do with this? You know, and it's the same way with sometimes, you know, fall into sin like this, get involved in, you know, even as a single person, getting involved with a married person is not good. not good.
No, it's not good. No, it's...
Even if you don't have a spouse to deal with, they do. You know.
Right.
Now, people ask the question, you know, is it okay to get involved with somebody that's separated and stuff like that? I don't know. You know, if they're getting a divorce, I guess it'd be all right. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you should wait till people are free.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because that could go either way. They could end up back together, and then there you are.
Yeah, out in the cold.
Right, out in the cold. And you've already invested time and money and, you know, wait.
Maybe even lost your health over it.
Right. And that might not be the person God has for you anyway. Why
would
he?
Well, this is what I try to tell people is, Wait till God brings the right person into your life. You know, I don't think, a lot of times they don't even think about that. I had a guy come over, he was visiting me for a while, and he said, by the way, you know that blonde girl that you see in the lobby at church? She comes out and greets people every now and then, you know, would you be interested in her? I guess she was interested in me. And I said, I don't know. I'll have to pray about it. You know, most people just go, okay, we'll get a big date and, you know, let's go out stuff, you know. But I say, wait on God. You know, you might marry somebody like that and it turned out okay. But I want better than okay. You know, I want the one that God says yes to.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, a lot fewer arguments, a lot fewer misunderstandings, you know. You might not like their family, you know. Their in-laws might not be too great. But I think if God was involved, you know, I said, well, maybe, I was talking about that one time, I said, if you marry a person, you're marrying their family, too.
Yes, you are.
And I said, maybe I should marry an orphan.
Why? Because they wouldn't have a family?
Right.
Oh.
No family to deal with. But
like you said, if that is true, then God will make peace.
Yeah.
He will go before you and straighten out that crooked place. And we must trust God all the way through the relationship, no matter who the family members may be, you know.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to live with them.
No, that's true.
Just being
cordial.
It's
like, you know, if you just jump in there... Well, you know, most people date at least for a year or so before they marry them. But, I mean, if you're sitting there and it's time to go visit her family at Christmas time, it's like you're sitting there going, oh, no, it's not Christmas again, is it? I hope so-and-so ain't there. Maybe he's sick.
Yeah, maybe so. But we're going to get back to David. We're going to get back to the scripture, okay? We're talking about...
But he made a wrong decision.
Yes, he did. An evil heart. We're talking about the heart right now.
That sin is just laying there,
right
dormant,
there in the
waiting.
Heart. Right there in the heart, you know. And like that first scripture you read about what defileth a man. Because, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees were so worried about Jesus' disciples washing their hands before they eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And read that scripture again, Jeff.
Where is that?
We're Matthew 15. Now, which one it is? It might be the first or the 15.
These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man.
And they were worried about that. Well, your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat, or they don't bless the food before, you know what I mean, before they eat their food.
For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies.
And you mention adultery.
Yes.
Now, this is David's sin with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And this came out of his heart because he let that thought in his mind, his eyes, and then it went into his mind and entered into his heart. So then, out of the heart, these issues come.
Well, if you want to think about how serious adultery is, the crowd of people were going
to
stone that woman in the
to
streets.
Death.
And what for? Adultery.
Adultery.
Now, Jesus said he forgives adultery. In other words, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But wouldn't it be better if she never committed adultery in the first place? It's nice that she was forgiven.
Yes, but the man was with her, too. She was caught in the very act. She was not by herself.
Yeah. Well, you know, they gave men favor in Israel.
They still do, right?
I don't know.
Not just in Israel.
Well, I mean, yeah, in most places.
Most places.
Men are the leaders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but she wasn't there by herself, so... But, like you said, they want to stone her to death for adultery. And where was the man? Drag his... drag him out of there, too, you know.
They were sitting there
watching him.
Yeah.
Well, was that good?
No.
What was in their heart?
Lopsided.
It was a setup. That's what it was. It was an actual setup. And they did these things to test Jesus when he was on the earth and he walked this earth. They put up test after test after test to see how he would react, to see how he would punish people or dismiss people from the church.
Why don't we read verse 1 through 12 here?
Go ahead.
Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Then came Jesus to scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they wash not their hands before they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth his mother and father, him let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not thy father, and his mother shall be, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said to them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defileth a man.
Right, right.
I mean, you could sit there and eat Rice Krispies all day, or you could sit there and eat whatever all day, you know, Fritos.
And not wash your hands.
And not wash your hands doesn't defile a man. We're talking about COVID. Might get a virus or something, but it's not something that God would say is going to hurt you spiritually.
Right,
you
right,
know.
Right. Or your relationship with Him.
Right.
Right.
And people have things turned around. I mean, you know, we go to church, look at all the tradition in church these days. Oh my gosh. And what if a down and outer comes in? A guy that's all dirty and smelly and everything, you know. Well, they say to the rich guy over here, well, he's rich compared to that guy. You know, come here
right.
And sit up front and
yes.
Put on a gold ring and
yes.
Feel good about yourself. The guy that's down and out has no money in American Christianity here. Don't have any money. What good are you?
True. You're right.
You know, you can't put any money in the pot. You know, when they pass it around, you can't pay tithe. Then get out. You know.
And that should not be. In the church.
No.
That should not be.
That's why I don't really believe in tithing.
Okay.
Because there are people that are too poor to pay tithes. You know. And are they trying to say that we're saved by good works again? You know. If you pay your tithe, then God will rebuke the devourer and open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessing upon you. How many times have you heard that?
All the time, but I heard something different about that scripture. It's the scripture before that, and someone just showed this to me Monday.
Yeah.
It's all about, what was it? How does she put that? I think it was about judging. It talks about judging. Where is that scripture?
Malachi 3.
Not that one. I think this was in Matthew. I don't have my notes with me, but... I can probably pull it up by the next hour. You know, we go back the next hour.
Okay, I don't know which one you're...
Right. I think it's in Matthew or Luke or somewhere. Might be Luke.
I mean, what do you think Jesus would really say if you walked into a church where he was the preacher? Well, do you think he would be emphasizing tithing all the time like they do?
No, I don't.
I mean, you know, if you don't tithe, then... Ugh. You know, you're... Cursed with a curse.
Right.
You know, and I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I haven't paid tithe since I've been a Christian. I've never paid tithe.
But you give, though, right?
Huh?
You give, right?
I give, right. But I don't pay tithe.
Right.
You know, I think you should give according to what you can, you know, according to what God speaks to your heart.
Amen.
Stuff like that, you
right,
know.
Right.
Let it be according to righteousness and according to the way you feel about it, rather than being coerced, you know. But right. That's their way of getting money out of you.
Right. And there's a verse about that, too, about you have taken the doctrines of men and made the word of God of none effect.
That's a tradition.
Right, because...
I've seen people actually get kind of hostile about that.
Of course they do. I mean, that's the law. They're preaching the law. We're under grace.
They're ready to stone you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For out of the heart flows all these issues.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or not. It doesn't matter whether you sit on the pew, you know, you're a parishioner and you're there at church, you know, and you're listening to a pastor speak to you and talk to you and encourage you, supposedly, right?
Right.
To do the right thing, to live the right way. That's why we go to church, because the Word of God, it constrains us and it also propels us to do what is right. You know, according to, like you said, according to how God has purposed in your heart to do. So these things He put in your heart should flow out of your heart.
That's right.
Right? So, but the things that you put in your heart flows out of your heart also.
Well, there's still selfishness there.
Yes.
You know, that's people are always trying to satisfy their own selfishness.
And there's still envy. There's still strife. There's still hate.
Right.
You know? And then there's love. But then it was...
And it's hard to deal with those emotions.
Yes, it are.
You know, you feel envious. Somebody pulls up in a brand new car of some sort, you know, brand new Buick or something, or Park Avenue. And you think, how's come I always got to drive these little skateboards, you know? I try to save on gasoline. This guy's got a job at Honda paying, you know, $25 an hour.
I'm just thankful to have a car.
Me too.
You know, I've had some cars that I really had to put a lot of money in.
To keep it running.
Emptied out my savings when I should have got rid of that car. You know?
Piece of junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did the same thing. I used to drive big cars. I like vans and big cars and stuff like that. But I just can't afford them anymore. Can't afford the gas. Can't afford the repairs. Darn it.
Right. Well, hey.
They're the ones that got shocks on them. So you go over railroad tracks. You don't feel like somebody's stabbing you in the stomach or beating you on the head or something, you know. But, you know, this world is only temporary.
Yes, it is only temporary.
That's the way we should look at it, you know. Most Christians these days, I mean, we're just traveling through this world. Most Christians have unpacked their bags.
Right.
And have made this world their permanent home, as permanent as they can make it, you know. And I think if we realize that we're just traveling through, that would be more generous to
right.
others, you know.
So... Now, we're still talking about the issues of the heart. So when you think about King Saul, which was after David trying to kill him all that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, God anointed him to be king.
Mm-hmm.
He had Samuel to pour the oil, or touch him with the oil, a blessing with the oil, for him to be king. But Saul,
he was jealous.
He was jealous? Well, this is before then. When God would give him a command, he would not...
Yeah.
Do it fully. Because in his
heart... He never was a good king, really.
Right, right. In his heart, he wanted to please the people. And
yeah.
And that's where his heart was. So whatever he put in his heart flowed out of his heart.
Yeah.
And God rejected him as king because he was disobedient.
That's right. That was his own doing.
Yes, it was.
I mean, here he was privileged to be the king of Israel, and all he did was disobey all the time. I don't think he ever did anything right, as far as I could tell, you know.
And like you said, that was his own doing. So when we concentrate on things, evil things,
yeah,
you know, it's our own doing when we fill our heart with these things.
Well, you feel the pricking of God, the presence of God to tell you, no, You don't want to be doing that. You know, he'll do things to get your attention. You can either listen to what he's saying or go on with your evil. You know,
a lot of people go on with their evil.
Yeah. They'll pay any attention to it, you know. So
that's why we have so many prisons and crime is out the wahoo, and you know, just
what are they gonna? That's what I want to ask people who end up in prison. They go and rob a bank or whatever it is they want to do. What were you trying to accomplish?
Money.
You know,
that's the American dream. Just like you said, someone pull up in a Cadillac or you know, SUV, brand new, and here I am.
You become envious.
And here I am in this raggedy Hoopdeville or whatever you want to call it, right? And I can't get a break, right? So that's part of the American dream. And this is something that we as the people or our government, you know, come to America, the land of plenty, you know, come and fulfill your dreams over here. And we that live here, we're trying to fulfill our dreams, but maybe we're not just there. Maybe we don't have a job making enough money, you know. Maybe we haven't went far enough in education to be able to, you know, be placed in these high paying jobs. So when people are walking every day, they may be walking. They may not even have a car. So I'm going to get me a car. But how are you going to get the car?
Yeah, they're going to take a shortcut.
Right.
You know.
But there are steps we must take.
Yeah.
There are steps which a lot of people don't want to take, right?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you so much. Brandon is a sweet, sweet guy.
Isn't he, though?
Yes, he is. Sweet guy. Brought us coffee. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you. But yes. Yes. When I think about King Saul and how he put all that. And then, like you said, he became envious of David.
Oh, positively.
So envious, he wanted to murder him.
Yeah. Have you ever had somebody envious of you? Maybe they envied somebody you were dating or envious of your new car. Have you had that happen? Don't you think it's ridiculous? When that happens, you're like, go get your own car. Go get your own boyfriend. You know?
Of course.
I feel like saying to them, you know, my neighbor borrowed my weed eater and didn't bring it back for a long time. I said, why don't you go buy one? You know, there's weed eaters at Lowe's and Menards.
So don't be stealing mine, because that's stealing.
Yeah, it is. Borrow something and don't bring it back, it is.
Right. He was so envious of that, you know, of your weed eater. And it doesn't take much.
It was a good one, too. It ran good.
I bet it was. But still, that was a small item, but it was your item, and he coveted.
Yeah.
Like that scripture. That's the 10th commandment. Do not covet.
Yeah.
You know, your neighbor's anything.
And sometimes it's hard. I mean, you get an emotion inside of you. You're attracted to this person over here, and they're married. But you still feel attracted to them. You have to go pray about it.
Yes.
Fight with it in your emotions. You can eventually get that under control.
You can tell your mind, no.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're
That's
not
right.
going over there.
Right.
You have to talk to yourself.
I've had, you know, my friend of mine, he was complaining because he says he was working a job where he loads up a truck and takes it all over Ohio. And he said, I keep running into these married women that are overly friendly, you know. And I said, it's because I had this guy telling me that some of these married women, their husbands just don't pay enough attention to them. And they start looking for love outside of their marriage, you know, for men. I think if you are truly a God person, a person that seeks after God, you're not going to end up chasing somebody else like that. I'm not saying that those sins are unforgivable. But if we don't commit those sins to begin with, we don't have to worry about the consequences thereof and have to seek after forgiveness after we get stabbed and kicked and punched and stuff, you know. He said, it just seems like it's a revolving door. Just run into one right after the other. Because, you know, these days, people just don't have as much morals. They don't have as much scruples as they used to. Of course, that was going on since the beginning, but not this bad, it doesn't seem like. So David is drawn to Bathsheba. He should have tried to resist that. He should have said, well, she's married. Her husband's off in the war. I should have respect for him because he's fighting. He's a soldier. Should give him some respect here and not be playing with his wife, you know, breaking his heart, stabbing him right in the heart. You know, that's not good.
No, it's not.
And he did pay the price, didn't he?
Yes. Till he died.
Yeah. The baby died. She became pregnant and the baby died. Nathan the prophet, I'm kind of telling this backwards. Nathan the prophet came along because David had buried this sin deep within him and didn't even think about it. And Nathan came along and said, what if a man went out here and took a warrior's wife and committed adultery with her and committed murder, too. He was guilty of murder because he sent Uriah to the front lines. You know, as king, he could do that.
Yes, and that's what we're talking about, all these different separate issues that end up in the heart because of covet. Now, that last commandment, do not covet.
Mm-hmm. My neighbor has a better lawnmower than me. nothing ever bad ever happens to him, you know. He always has new cars. You could just go on and on, you know. He's got a beautiful wife. Where'd she come from?
Jeff.
You know.
You are something else. Wow. But this is reality.
He even has an airplane.
Oh, my. But this is reality, isn't it? This is everyday life. People go through these emotions and trauma,
yes,
and envying in their hearts. And coveting what other people have. That's where all that comes from, coveting. No, I don't have it. I see Jeff has a, just like you said, you ask this guy to do your yard. So he started doing your yard and he steals your weed killer, or your weed eater.
I'll probably get it back eventually.
Right, but the point was, it's yours. He should have asked. Right?
I don't know. The people just they don't have any scruples.
Morals.
Yeah, their morals are so low these days.
That's what it is.
Doesn't even bother them. You know? They see a saw blade you got in your garage, well, that's mine now.
Right.
You know, they see a saw blade they need, you know?
And you know what, Jeff? Sometimes, yes, we can talk to ourselves. We can encourage ourselves to do the right thing, but we still need God's help.
Mm-hmm.
We still need God's help, and we should be willing to say, well, Lord, help me. I don't want to be this way anymore.
We should be, as Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong.
Right.
In other words, I go to God and ask him for strength.
For strength.
You know, and encouragement.
To help me, yes.
A lot of times we sin because we're discouraged.
Yes.
You know, and we think, well, God's not going to help me, then I might as well go ahead and make myself feel good here.
True. And that happens. You're so right. So right.
I can imagine, you know, there was a couple of women in church over the years that I could have got involved with, but they were married. Can you imagine the consequences thereof? Probably would have ended up getting kicked out.
Not just kicked out. You probably would not have had a happy life because that would always remain on your mind. This was somebody else's wife.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't see how David was so placent about what he did. And how he did.
I could have been so complacent.
Yes. Even had her husband killed, sent to the
front
line.
How did he get into that horrible condition?
I don't know. Coveting.
That's what you wonder, you know.
Yes.
Lust. His thoughts.
Lust.
He let them get a hold of him, you know, his heart, take hold of his heart and his mind and drag him away from the truth.
Yes.
Which is happening to the church right now. Satan's dragging them away. Satan can't actually drag you. He can call from the sidelines. That's what he can do.
Right.
And And when you stop and watch him and listen to him, that's when you're in trouble.
Yes.
You know.
Deep trouble.
Now, you may go along and you're starting to drift over to what Satan's calling you to, you know. He's not going to try to tempt you with an ugly woman or an ugly man. He's going to bring some handsome guy along, you know. He's got some money in his pocket. You know, he's got a nice house, a nice apartment. You know, the traditional look at the Playboy kind of guy. You know, see, he's not going to bring some ugly guy with nothing to offer.
But that doesn't mean he's going to share with you. That's where, that's sometimes that's a misconception.
Yeah.
It is, you
know. Yeah. A lot of times they don't. That's why they got money.
Yeah, I heard I was speaking with yesterday, was talking about this young lady that thought that this older guy was going to buy her a house. Because she knew he had money.
Yeah.
So she, you know, she was deceived. She deceived herself.
Should you be dating somebody because they got money?
And the man was married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes that's a misconception, you know.
Yeah. That's that kind of stuff, you know, on Forensic Files. You ever watch that? And they said that the reason why somebody kills somebody is either love or money. You know, they fall in love with somebody and they find out they're fooling around on them. Or, you know, they're married and they're fooling around on them, they kill that person. Maybe both of them.
Whew.
And the other one is they're just greedy. They kill somebody to get their life insurance money or whatever they have. You know they're in their will, so we'll go ahead and finish this person's life off real quick so we can get their money.
Right.
Well, you might enjoy that money in this lifetime, but how are you going to get around God's judgment?
You can't. And believe it or not, we're out of time for the first hour. Thank you, Jeff Porter. And don't forget, Jeff Porter will be back with us in the 11:15 to 12 noon. We are talking about the heart.
Yeah.
People's heart. So we will continue that discussion in the next hour. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here live on WGH Talk. So next time, tune in at 11:15 to 12 noon. We hope to have some good and inspirational words for you to live by. So thank you. See you next hour. God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.